This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Hello and welcome to The Forum. My guest on this weekend's show is Gerald Brand. He's owner of Mule's Shooting Source. Welcome to the show, Gerald.
Thank you.
Gerald, today we're going to cover a lot of topics concerning firearms, gun ownership, things like that. And not necessarily as far as any of the debate on guns or anything like that, but just the actual sort of some of the facts here in Illinois, if you do own a gun or think of purchasing a gun or doing something with a gun. And first off, I guess in Illinois, it's the most important thing to remember. The FOID card is the number one thing you got to have to own a gun, to get a gun. You need that card, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Whether you like the idea of a FOID card or not, it is still the state law. And in order for you to possess firearms or ammunition, you need a FOID card, and that stands for Firearms Owner's Identification.
And you can, anyone can get that information of how to apply for it or things like that, but basically, sort of what is the, quickly, how do you go about it to say you've never had a FOID card?
Okay, the best way to do this is online, and you can go to IllinoisStatePolice.com, and you look on the left side, and there will be a tab under Firearms, and you can apply for your FOID card online. You can also do it by paper by calling the number that is on the website. They prefer you do it online. It's quicker, it's easier for them. And you got to submit a picture and fill out a bunch of paperwork and whatever. So the ideal place to do it is online.
The FOID card, as we say, is sort of the overall principle that you need. And that is to, you know, maybe if you want to get rid of a firearm or something, or if you're going to purchase one, you'll need that. Now, recently we had conceal and carry come up here in Illinois, and it's now conceal and carry. If you go through training, you can do that. How is that after the first rush, because you are a trainer for conceal and carry, how was that after the rush, and is it still something where a lot of people are still trying to obtain a conceal and carry license?
Conceal carry started back in 2013, and like you said, it was a mad rush at first. It has slowed down a little bit. I mean, I'm still doing classes monthly and getting pretty good classes still, but it has slowed down just a little bit, and the state did not know what this was going to be when it first started. I can remember we did classes prior to them being able to apply. And the minute after midnight on the day you could apply, it burned up the computer up in Springfield. There were so many people applying. It just literally tens of thousands of people that got the training prior to the application date. And they were down for like a week or so getting that going. So it's a very active thing that's still going on. We've been in it now almost 6 years or so, and now the renewals are coming due. So, yeah, it's still quite active in Illinois.
And after you obtain your concealed carry, you have to have refresher courses on a regular basis?
Yes, your original Illinois concealed carry permit is good for 5 years. And when it starts approaching the five-year period, a lot of people are getting letters. When I do a class, I ask them if they got a letter. And about half of the class will raise their hand and say, yes, I got a letter. The other half didn't. That sometime can be an issue, too. I mean, if my personal thoughts are, if you're going to send a letter out, send it to everybody. Don't just send it to about half of the people. But what the letter states is your card is going to expire soon. You need to take a three-hour refresher course, and you need to requalify with a firearm, the same qualification standards as you had when you got the original card, and then you reapply for another five-year card, just like you did when you originally got your first one.
Now, since you do instruction for conceal and carry, maybe just a quick walkthrough. What is it like? Somebody comes to you and says, I want to try to get my conceal and carry license. What do they have to do?
If they are ex-military, possibly ex-law enforcement, if they have a certain permit from other states, they can get some kind of credit toward their concealed carry permit. Everyone, no matter what, no matter what kind of credentials they have, has to take the second day of the concealed carry. And what the entire 16-hour course involves, it's gun safety, it's firearm identification, it's how they work, and it is really about the safety portion of it. I'm very strict on the safety thing. I give them maybe one chance, and after that, if they're still acting up, they're gone, because it's all about knowing how to handle them safely, and that's what kind of turns people away from firearms is they don't really know how they operate or how to do it safely. Then we talk about the Illinois and federal law, the Concealed Carry Act in its entirety, and the qualification, and then throw in a few other things that are good to know. And I always stress this, you cannot stress this enough, you cannot have enough training, ever. The police train, everybody in law enforcement trains on a regular basis, and they're professionals. They do this for a living, and they still train. So us as regular citizens, we need to train and train the right way, and you'll learn that in the class also.
A person has a gun, and we talked before this interview, they might want to sell a gun. Well, there's steps you got to take. Many questions come up with, I got guns at some point in my life from a relative that passed away. These things cause questions, and I think there's a lot of ambiguity out in the public right now as far as what is, quote, legal and what is not. And maybe we could go over that. Basically, I have a gun and I want to sell it to somebody. What can I do if I want to do that?
Okay, that's a good question. Again, back on the Illinois State Police website, you can go under the firearms tab, and there is a part there that is person-to-person transfer. And what you would do as the seller is you would go to that place on that site and fill out the buyer's information, the seller's information, information about the firearm, and make sure that the person receiving that gun has a FOID card, number one. If they don't have a FOID card, don't even start the process because it's not going to work. You will do similar to what I do as a firearms dealer. You will click the submit button. They will do a quick background check, and you will get a notification within 5-10 seconds whether it's okay for you to sell that gun to this person. Then complete whatever's left on the form, and you need to print out a couple of copies, and you both need to keep a copy of that. I think it's for 10 years. That will show disposition of that firearm, where it is. So that's the way you would do person-to-person where a dealer is not involved.
A thought off of that, and maybe you can answer this or not, what happens if you were going to sell, say, a firearm of yours? Can you even sell a firearm of yours to, say, somebody who lives in another state?
Okay, that becomes a little tricky. If you sell a gun to someone in another state, it normally has to go to a dealer in that state and then go through whatever laws that state has. I know as a dealer, I have a few friends of mine who buy guns at auction, and they're shipped to me. I have to enter them in my ledger. I have to fill out the forms as if that person was actually buying them from me. And then they have the 72-hour waiting period for any firearm now. And he has to come and fill out the forms out, and then I show disposition, whatever. But the best way to do it, to where you're covering all the bases, as they say, is go from dealer to dealer, okay? Let's say you wanted to sell a gun to somebody in Utah. I'm just throwing a state out there. You would be better off going to a local dealer, letting them ship the gun for you and include their federal license, and shipping it to another dealer in Utah and let them take care of whatever paperwork there might be needed in Utah.
Now, another question that comes up a lot is, Grandpa, my dad, had guns from way back when I was a child, and those were left to me. You know, we're supposed to have a sort of a idea of where the guns come from and things like mm-hmm. that. That's the point of FOID or purchasing. But so where does that come in? Maybe you could start explaining that when it gets into old relatives' guns or guns that have been around for 50 years.
The main thing you want to remember is you have to have a FOID card to possess that. This is an opinion, but I think the state is more interested in making sure that someone can legally possess a firearm or ammunition as opposed to what gun it is, or is it a long gun, a handgun. Of course, it has to be a legal firearm. It can't be a fully automatic or two shard of a barrel or whatever. But that's not a real strict thing. What the state police are into is they understand that this is going to happen across the state on a daily basis. And their main concern is that everyone who possesses the firearm or ammunition has a FOID card. And like you said, if it was coming from a grandfather, those guns could have been from the 40s, the 50s, whatever, before there was ever a FOID card. So those guns aren't really in any ledger or anywhere like that. Main thing is that FOID card.
To get one repaired or to re-blue a gun or something like that, to take it to a gun dealer and have this type of work on it. Obviously, the FOID card again. Anything else go with that or repair or things like that?
Absolutely, there is. I don't do any of that repair because I'm not considered an armorer. There's quite a bit of responsibility there if this gun doesn't work when you get it back and it's used in a defensive position or whatever. The gun needs to work, okay? But the people who do repairs on guns, they might not sell guns at all, or they do bluing. They have to have a certain kind of license to where if you would bring a gun to a person to get worked on, they have to record your name, address, phone number, model, make, serial number of that gun because they took possession of that gun at that time. And then when you come back and pick up the gun, they put the date and everything in it that you came and picked it up. It shows where this gun has been, okay? You don't have it at your house anymore. This gentleman has it to do repairs on it. He did his repairs and then it leaves. That way they can kind of trace where this gun has been.
So that really is a whole different situation than even, shall we say, the purchase of a gun.
Absolutely.
And things like that.
Absolutely.
And finally, if anybody would have a question or something like that concerning conceal and carry, of course, you train and stuff like that. Where could they contact you?
Absolutely. a couple ways. You can go on Facebook and join Mule's Shooting Source. I list a lot of tips there. I list all my class dates and whatever. Or you can give me a call anytime at 217-825-3830. And I try to have monthly classes. And I can also assist you in your application process, either for your FOID or for your concealed carry. I can provide you with that service also online.
Joe Brand, thank you for joining us on the forum this weekend.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And you can join us again next weekend for another edition. For WSMI, I'm Rick Davis.